The title of my message today is Our Helper, the Holy Spirit. Please say this out loud. Say, the Holy Spirit is my helper. Say that. The Holy Spirit is my helper. Our helper, the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14 and verses 16 to 17. I'm going to read this out of the NASB. Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, so that He may be with you forever. The helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him, because He remains with you and will be in you. Please say it again. Say, our helper, the Holy Spirit. Our helper, the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus says here that He's going to send another helper. He's going to send another one. Another one is going to come. The Greek word for another is allos, which means another of the same kind. So when He says, I'll ask the Father, and He says, I'll give you another helper, He's saying, I'm going to send you someone of the same kind. It could also be translated as another equal. What He's saying here is that I'm going to send you someone equal to me. I'm going to send you someone as powerful as myself. This is one of the little verses that indicate the Trinity. And so He says that. The Greek word for another is allos, which means another of the same kind or another equal to me. And then the Greek word for helper is parakletos. Some of you are familiar with that word. And it can be translated as counselor, comforter, advocate, intercessor, and the NASB rendered it this time as helper. So the Holy Spirit is the parakletos. He is our helper. He's our counselor. He's our comforter, our advocator, our intercessor. Here's some other translations. NIV, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor. The Darby translation, I will ask the Father and He will give you another comforter. The New Living translation, I will ask the Father and He will give you another advocate. The Contemporary English Bible, I will ask the Father and He will send you another companion. All of these are good and legitimate translations of the word parakletos. And so Jesus has said, I'm going to go to the Father and I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Now notice this verse, He says, I'll give you another helper so that He may be with you forever. Last part of the verse says, He remains with you and will be in you. Now this is powerful. The Holy Spirit will be in you forever. When He sends the Holy Spirit to us, it's not temporary, but He's with us and in us forever. John 14, 17, in the NIV renders it this way, you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Now, here's the difference between us as believers today. When we're born again, we receive the Holy Spirit and He's in us. But the disciples didn't have that until after the resurrection. The Holy Spirit was with them, but the Holy Spirit wasn't in them yet. Now, think about this. For a moment, Jesus was with them. And can you imagine being around Jesus? You would have felt like you could conquer the world. Jesus was the greatest comforter. If you were going through a difficult time, if you were having a bad day, can you imagine Jesus putting His arm around you and saying, it's going to be okay? Can you imagine Jesus comforting you? Can you imagine being with Jesus and seeing all the miracles that He did? Multiplying bread, healing the sick, raising the dead, opening blind eyes, opening deaf ears. Can you imagine? If you were with Jesus, you would have felt like you could conquer the world. And so there were times that you might have been down, that you might have felt discouraged, but here's Jesus putting His arm around you saying, you can accomplish great things. We can do this together. So Jesus was with the disciples. Now He's going to go to the Father, and they are full of grief. We're going to see that in a moment. They are sad because Jesus is going to go to the Father. But Jesus says, I've got to go to the Father so that I can send the Holy Spirit to you. So if you were around Jesus, you would have felt like you could conquer the world. He was with them, but he couldn't be with everybody at the same time. He was limited geographically. He was limited by his body. So he could only be with a few people or a group of people once in a while. And so he says, you know what, I'm going to go to the Father so that I can send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be in you so that I can be with you all the time. I can be in you all the time, and he can be in all of us. And this is exciting. So they were sorrowful. They were full of grief because we would have been too if Jesus was going to leave us. But he says, I have to go so that I can send the Holy Spirit, and he'll be in you, and he'll be in every one of us. So actually, and this might sound really hard for us to believe, it's actually better that he went to the Father, he went to heaven, than being here on earth. Why is that? So that he could be inside of us and inside of every single one of us. Say amen to that. And so that is just so, so powerful. So Jesus promises the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit will be in them, not just with them. And so we don't have time to teach on this, but if you looked at the Old Testament, all throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people, the Holy Spirit would be with people, but the difference between an Old Testament believer and a New Testament believer is that when you come to Christ and you're born again, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Man, that's exciting. So wherever I go, wherever you go, if you're born again, you've got the Holy Spirit with you. Man, that's powerful. That is amazing. And if the Holy Spirit is in you, that means the Comforter is in you. That means the Counselor is in you. That means the Advocate is in you. The Intercessor is in you. He is inside of you. And so the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is in you. You can be assured of this. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. You're born again. He is in you. Say amen to that. And so he's our helper. He's our helper. So I want to share with you 7 ways that the Holy Spirit helps us today. And I really want to encourage you today to lean into this, to think about this, to receive this with excitement and with faith, because you have the Holy Spirit. In fact, I think we should just pause and as a prayer, say, thank you, Jesus, for sending the Holy Spirit. Say that. Thank you, Jesus, for sending the Holy Spirit. Now, pinch your neighbor and say, you're not alone. You've got the Holy Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit. So 7 ways that the Holy Spirit helps us. Number 1, the Holy Spirit provides comfort, counsel, and encouragement. Now, listen to John 16, verses 6 to 7. Yet because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Yeah, Jesus was going to leave them. Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, then the Counselor will not come to you. Jesus goes to the right hand of the Father so that he can send the Holy Spirit. If I go, I will send him to you. Now, the Greek word parakletos actually comes from the word parakaleo. Okay? Now, the word parakaleo is a compound word. The first part of the word para means to come alongside. The root word, the main part of the word, is kaleo. That's the Greek word for calling out. Parakaleo. So Jesus calls out, comes alongside his disciples and calls out comfort, calls out counsel, calls out encouragement to the disciples. He comes alongside them. Now, that's significant because he was with them. But he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be the parakletos. He is going to call out counsel to you. He's going to call out encouragement to you. He's going to call out comfort to you. And so the Holy Spirit is your comforter. The Holy Spirit is your counselor. The Holy Spirit is your advocate. He's your intercessor. And so this is really, really important. So if you think about this, this word, comfort, counsel, encouragement, What the Lord is saying is that you've got the helper inside of you. So if you're full of grief, He promises the Holy Spirit to comfort you. And so we often pray when somebody loses a loved one, we don't have the words to really articulate the loss. In human terms, we can't really find the right words to comfort someone. And so we always pray that the Holy Spirit will comfort them supernaturally. He has a way of healing their heart. He has a way of touching their heart. I pray this every single time when somebody loses a loved one. I ask the Holy Spirit to comfort them and to fill the empty spaces in their life that only that person could fill. Nobody can fill those spaces in that person's life. So I ask the Holy Spirit to fill those spaces with His presence. And then to fill their heart with His peace. Because if the Lord gives His peace and fills those empty spaces with His presence, that's a comfort. And it's supernatural. Only the Lord can do that. We can't do that. No one can replace the loved one that went to heaven or that you lost. But the Holy Spirit can fill those places and those spaces in your heart and in your life with His peace and with His presence. And so He brings supernatural comfort to you. The promise is he brings supernatural counsel to you. If you're having a difficult time in a relationship, if you're having a difficult time in your employment, in the different scenarios of your life, the Holy Spirit will bring counsel to you to tell you what you need to do in certain situations. So this is amazing because Jesus would have put His arm around you and He would have counseled you. He would have put His arm around you and said, let me comfort you. But now He's not here visibly, but He sends the Holy Spirit who's inside of you. And the Holy Spirit is calling out comfort and encouraging meant to you. And we're going to talk about listening to His voice. How do we do that? So the Holy Spirit provides comfort. He provides counsel and He provides encouragement. So think in terms of this word, parakaleo. If Jesus were walking alongside of you, He would have said, son, you can do this. He would have said, my daughter, you can do it. You can accomplish great things. That's what He would have done. Now you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you who's calling out encouragement to you, telling you that you can do it, that you can overcome, that you can accomplish great things in your life. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we need to start listening to the Holy Spirit more. Say amen to that. Unfortunately, we listen to our own negative voices. We listen to the negative voices of other people. The Holy Spirit wants to start talking to you and encouraging you and say, man, you can do it. You can overcome. You can accomplish great things. So the Holy Spirit provides comfort, counsel, and encouragement. Secondly, the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces. And I want to take you to John 16, verses 8 to 11. Listen to this. And when He comes, He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in Me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see Me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. So let's break down this verse and see what the Holy Spirit does. Well, He convicts us. When the word convict is used, it means to convince you of something. And so oftentimes we've heard this, that the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. And that's very true. Everyone needs to know that they're a sinner and that they need a Savior. And so He convinces you. Some of us don't need that much convincing. Some of us might need a little more convincing. But we need to be convinced or convicted of our sin, ultimately, because we need a Savior. And so that's the role of the Holy Spirit. He convinces us. But many people stop at that, and they don't see the rest of the verse. The second part of it is that He says that the Holy Spirit will convict us of righteousness. So He convicts you of sin, but He also convicts you, convinces you of what can be right in your life. So everyone needs to know they are righteous after they come to Christ. So everyone needs to know that they're a sinner and they need a Savior. Everyone needs to know that. So when you come to Christ and you're born again, you have to recognize that you're a sinner and you ask Jesus to be your personal Savior. That's the great exchange at the cross. To say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I ask Him to be my personal Savior. But after you come to Christ, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, and now He convinces you that you're righteous. What can be right about your life? He has removed the sin in your life, and He has made you righteous. That's really, really important, because if you're going to accomplish things for the Lord, you need the confidence that you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. How many people know that when you're about to do something for the Lord, maybe it's preach, maybe it's teach, maybe it's just pray for someone, maybe it's to minister, oftentimes you start thinking of all the mistakes that you made. It might be your own thoughts, or it might be the enemy trying to discourage you. And so before you do something great for God, oftentimes you start feeling really, really unworthy. You're already convinced of your sin. So what you need to do is start being convinced of the righteousness of Christ. And so what you say to yourself is, you know what, I'm going to minister not because of my own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Christ. You're going to say to yourself, I'm going to pray for this person to be healed. They're not going to be healed because I am righteous or the good in my life outweighs the bad. No, they're going to be healed because of Jesus' righteousness. And so this is really, really important in the ministry process that you are convinced, you let the Holy Spirit convince you that you have the righteousness of Christ, that you're going to accomplish great things because of His righteousness. Say amen to that. So it's less about your works. It's less about the fact that you may not feel righteous or you may not have done enough. It's less about that. People aren't saved or healed because of what you've done. They're saved and healed because of what Jesus has done. Say amen to that. That's really, really important. So everyone needs to know they're a sinner and they need a Savior. Secondly, everyone needs to know they are righteous after they come to Christ. Thirdly, everyone needs to know the devil has been defeated and we win. Okay, so if we break this verse down again, he says, the Holy Spirit will convince you of sin. He'll convince you that you're a sinner and you need to have a Savior. But then he'll convince you of righteousness. But then the scripture goes on to say that he will convince you of the coming judgment. What he means by that very specifically, and he explains it at the end of the verse, judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. Satan is called the ruler of this world or the prince of this world, and Jesus defeated him. And so what God is saying in this scripture is that the Holy Spirit will convince you that Satan has been defeated and you've got the victory. Now, this is incredible. Because if you pack these three things together, you're going to be invincible. Say amen to that. Because one, you already know you're messed up and you need a Savior. You gave your heart to Christ. You received Jesus, and thus you received the Holy Spirit who's inside of you. He has pointed out things that were wrong, but you asked Jesus to be your Savior. Now He's pointing out things that can be right in your life. You have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So the battle that you're facing is spiritual warfare, but the Holy Spirit also convinces you that the devil has been defeated and you win. Man, this is a recipe for incredible victory in our lives. And so the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces us of these things. Man, this is powerful. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit teaches us. So He's your helper, comforts you, counsels you. He convicts and convinces, but He teaches us. Listen to John 14:26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and remind you of all that I said to you. Have you ever wondered why and how the Bible is so accurate and the Gospels record the words of Christ. Well, one, they had a powerful oral tradition, but secondly, the Holy Spirit reminded them of what He said. And then they corroborated among each other. And so in the four Gospels, we see the words of Christ. He reminds them of what He had said to them when He was walking with them. But the Bible says here, Jesus said that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will teach you about all things. I want you to know, the Holy Spirit inside of you is your teacher. And He teaches you. If you will listen to the Holy Spirit, He will teach you. He will teach you. You'll continue to learn and grow in Christ. You know, there's a big difference between anointed teaching and regular teaching. Can I explain the difference to you? Well, in 1 John 2:27, it says, His anointing teaches you about all things. So the anointing is the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit breathing life into something. When the Bible says that God's Word is God-breathed, God breathes life into it. The Bible is living and active. And so when someone teaches in the anointing, God's presence, His power is on that, it comes alive. And so the anointing teaches you about all things. 1 John 2:29 goes on to say that His anointing is real, not counterfeit. Okay? So what's the difference between regular teaching and anointed teaching? Regular teaching might be somebody that's teaching a subject in school, and let's say they don't know the Lord, but they're just teaching. They might be a really good teacher. They're good at teaching math. They're good at teaching language arts, whatever. They're good at teaching. And so you learn something from that. But then you come and you listen to the teaching of God's Word, and you can tell the difference because you can feel God's presence. You can feel that it actually changes your life. There's something deep and rich. It's God's presence that gives you nuggets and answers for your life. That's anointed teaching. And so not to be disparaging of the other, but we just recognize that there's a difference between something that's done in the natural versus something that's done and the anointing and presence of God is on that. Let's put it to you this way. You could be a teacher in school, and before you were saved, you might have been teaching and doing pretty good, but then you got saved, you got born again, and God started anointing your words. You just suddenly went to a whole nother level in your teaching, even in those subjects that necessarily weren't about life or death or being born again, but you just went to a whole nother level because God's anointing was on that. By the way, the anointing, God can anoint you to do everything, can anoint you to do whatever your job is, whatever your appointment is. What He does is He takes the natural, He adds the super to it, it becomes supernatural, and you go to a whole nother level. And this is amazing. And so the Holy Spirit teaches us. Now, the main thing that He teaches you is how to grow in Him. He teaches you how to learn. He teaches you and gives you answers for your marriage, for your parenting, for your finances, for your career. But it comes from Him. He teaches you. Man, that's really, really powerful. So He is our teacher. Everyone say this. The Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holly Spirit teaches us. The fourth thing is, the Holy Spirit empowers us. Listen to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So let's review. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes in you. With the disciples, He was with them. After Jesus went to the Father, He sends the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is in them. When you, it could be similar to you, people that don't know the Lord, they might have a sense of God's presence. They'll say, "Why? I knew about the Lord, or I even felt something when I was a kid." They might have had an encounter or an experience. God was with, God was around them. But when you give your life to Christ, you're born again. Now the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. Man, this is amazing. So when you're born again, the Holy Spirit is in you when you're born again. But the Holy Spirit fills you with power when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. So to be clear, when you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit. He's in you. But you may not be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit when He fills you with His power. And let me say it to you this way. People baptize you with water, but Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. So we do our water baptism once a year to celebrate those that have committed their heart to Christ, that are walking with the Lord. And by the way, I encourage you, you might have grown up in a church that you were baptized as a baby. In our theological understanding, that was really more of a baby dedication, because the pattern of the scripture is when an adult makes a decision, they're immersed into water, and they are declaring to the world the symbolism of water that washes, and they're brand new, and they're born again. But that's in a decision made by somebody that's either an emerging adult, has understanding, or is an adult. And so when we baptize you in water, people baptize you in water to represent your salvation. But when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, only Jesus can baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And when He baptizes you in the Holy Spirit, He gives you power. You have the Holy Spirit. He's in you. But when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he empowers us. It is absolutely wonderful when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's an invitation for all of us. And so you might have had a different tradition. You might have grown up in a church that didn't understand the things and the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, we would love to introduce you to that. We would love to talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, helps empower us. Number five, the Holy Spirit helps us pray. The Holy Spirit helps us pray. Listen to Romans 8:26. In certain ways, we are weak, but the Spirit is here to help us. For example, when we don't know what to pray for, the Spirit prays for us in ways that cannot be put into words. You know, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit wants to bless you with a prayer language, with a supernatural ability to speak in tongues, to pray in the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit will give you a prayer language so that when you don't know how to pray, or when you're weak in ways that we are weak, then the Holy Spirit prays for us in ways that we cannot even put into words. So you may not have the words to really pray, may not know how to pray. You might be in a crisis situation and you don't even know how to pray. But when you pray in the Holy Spirit, when you pray in tongues, when you use your prayer language, the Holy Spirit is praying for you and helping you pray. Say amen to that. And so if you don't have your prayer language yet, we would love to introduce you, help you to pray and to receive your prayer language. I didn't grow up in a church that taught this. And so when I first heard about this, I got so excited because I had trouble praying for 5 minutes. I'd get tired. I didn't have the words. I didn't know what to say. And so to be honest, I didn't have much of a prayer life. Yes, I talked to the Lord and included Him in my life and in my daily life, but I didn't have much of a prayer life. Because I didn't know how to pray. I didn't have the strength. And when I heard that I could, that the Holy Spirit would help me pray, man, I got excited about that. Because I wasn't really good at that. And if I didn't know how to pray, that the Holy Spirit would give me the words to pray, man, that's powerful. I was so excited about that and so hungry for that. So when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1988, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and God gave me my prayer language, it was transformative. Not only did I receive power, but I could pray for things that I didn't know how to pray for. And when I would pray, I would have compassion, and often the Holy Spirit would cry through me, and I would pray with compassion, power that I never had before. And so you can have that too. If you don't have a prayer language, we would love to introduce you to that. That is very real. That is very biblical. And let me say this to some of you, because some of you have your prayer language, but you don't pray in tongues that often. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm not trying to sound important here, but ever since I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and got my prayer language in 1988, I don't think a day has gone by that I haven't prayed in the Holy Spirit, that I haven't prayed in tongues. God gives you a gift for a reason. And so when you pray in the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in Jude in verse 20 that it builds you up. It charges you like charging a battery. It gives you energy. It gives you the dynamic flow of His power into your life. And secondly, you're able to intercede and pray for people with words that you may not have in English. You don't know how to pray. Another part of this is that when we pray, and we pray in our own language, in English or whatever your heart language might be, and you're praying, oftentimes you're not sure how to pray, so you're praying very selfishly. We pray really selfishly, don't we, sometimes? Lord, I want this, I need this, or I think this is your will. And it may not necessarily be God's will. Why don't you pray in the Holy Spirit, use your prayer language, and then you'll know that you're praying in the will of God, and then He'll begin to give you the answers. You'll start praying in English because your will be submitted to His will. He will be leading the direction of your prayer, and you'll follow that. So I often start in tongues or my prayer language, and then I start praying in English, and I realize, wow, I'm interpreting. I'm praying what I was praying in tongues because now I'm praying in God's will. That's powerful. And so some of you, I really encourage you, God gave you a gift for a reason. You should pray in the Holy Spirit. Don't miss out on this amazing thing called the gift of tongues to build you up and encourage you. The Holy Spirit does that. He releases that to us. Say amen to that. And so the Holy Spirit helps us pray. Number six, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. He gives us gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. This is in the EEB. It says, the Holy Spirit helps us with different kinds of gifts. And this is powerful. He gives us different kinds of gifts. And so the gifts of the Holy Spirit, if you read about them in 1 Corinthians 12, they're given in a time of need. Every single time, they're given in a time of need. So you might need healing. God gives the gift of healing. You might need a miracle. He gives the gift of a miracle. He might give you wisdom when you need wisdom. How many times have I really needed something in a crisis? And I said, Lord, I need your help right now. And He releases a gift to me. How about a gift of wisdom? I have to do things every day that I'm just not qualified and not gifted to do. I mean, can I just be honest? Can I pull the curtain back? So I lead this church, I lead this organization. I'm not an accountant. I'm not a business person. I just signed up to help Jesus. I wanted to tell people about Jesus. I signed up to help people. That was the call. I didn't know that I would have to learn accounting. I didn't know that I have to learn about acquisitions and buildings and do the whole business side of an organization. I had no idea. And so there are many times I'm sitting at my desk and I'm like, Lord, I am so unqualified. I don't know what I'm doing. And I begin to pray and He starts giving me wisdom. He starts giving me answers. He either shows me and teaches me because He's my teacher. He teaches me how to do something. I've learned a lot. Or He shows me who to reach out to teach me, who to get involved, who has that skill. But all of those things together, He gives me wisdom on that. And he'll do the same for your job. He'll do the same for how about parenting? Don't know what to do in this situation. I've discovered, I couldn't believe it that all four kids were different. I just couldn't believe it. And then I couldn't believe that they had their own will. I thought they would just want to do what I want to do and do it the way I want to do it. And then I discovered they all have their own will and they want to do things different. I need wisdom from the Lord to parent. Say amen to that. What I'm telling you is you have the Holy Spirit inside of you to help you, to give you wisdom. And he gives gifts at that moment in time. And so call out to the Lord. Say, God, I need a miracle. I need healing. I need wisdom. I need knowledge in this. Look at the gifts of 1 Corinthians 12 and you'll see that he always releases those things in a time of need. And so he gives us gifts. This is so, so wonderful. The seventh and last thing that I want to highlight today is that the Holy Spirit guides us. He guides us. Listen to Galatians 5 and verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. And so this is the amazing promise. If Jesus would have had his arm around you and you started asking him about the business you were going to start, you started asking him about your family, he would have guided you. He would have given you wisdom. He would have told you what to do. But you know what? Even at that point in time, only a certain amount of people could have been around him. Maybe I would have never gotten close to him. But he goes to the Father and he sends the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is inside of me to help me, to teach me, to empower me, but now also to guide me, to tell me what to do. And everywhere I travel and everywhere I minister and right here even in our church, one of the things that many Christians struggle with is getting God's will for their life. Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? How do you want me to respond? Where do you want me to go? How can you guide me? And those are very, very understandable prayers. But my point to you today is that the Holy Spirit will guide you. This is his promise to us, is that he will guide us. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide our lives. Now, three ways primarily that the Holy Spirit guides us. Number one, he guides us by his word. By his word. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. My brother and sister, I cannot emphasize this enough, but you got to read his word. You got to study his word. And I remember when I was a young man, when I was a teenager, and my mom was such a woman of the word, but she kept saying to me, Eric, you have to read the word of God for yourself. And she knew I had to develop that habit in my life. And she was so right, because there are no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. There's only children. And so if you're a teenager, if you're an emerging adult, listen, you can ride your parents' faith for a while. You're under their covering. You're in their house. But eventually, you're going to be on your own, and you have got to be a person that know God's word. So primarily, how do you know God's word? You know it by his word. One, there are things that he's already revealed to you. There are things that he has already told us from his word that you know are either right or wrong, things that he has been very, very clear about. The more difficult aspect is what do you do in certain situations? But here's the thing, is as you read the word of God and as you study God's word, he can highlight those things and just burn them into your heart to give you very, very specific direction. So he guides us by his word. Second thing, the Holy Spirit guides us by his peace, guides us by his peace. Listen to Psalm 85, verse 8. I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for he speaks peace to his faithful people. So God will use his word, but this is really important. Follow the road of peace in your heart. Because remember, you've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. So as you're praying about decisions, what to do? Should I buy that house? Should I buy this car? Should I go to this school? What should I do in a situation? Should I take that promotion? How should I do this next project? Whatever it might be. He's going to teach you. He's going to show you. But then he speaks to you with peace. You have peace in your heart. And how many people know you can do something hard and difficult and uncomfortable, but still have peace? Okay? Now pay attention to when you don't have peace, because you have the Holy Spirit in you, and so you're praying. But if you don't have peace, I would describe that as an unsettled feeling. You're uncomfortable about it. Again, qualifier. You're praying, you're thinking about it, you're getting maybe counsel from people that know the Lord, but you're praying about it. But now you're unsettled about something. You're uncomfortable. It's what we call sometimes getting a check. You're just like, I feel checked on that. I feel a little bit uncomfortable. I don't have peace. Pay attention to that, because when the Holy Spirit asks you to do something, you're going to have peace. You will have peace. I hope it's mostly that you're excited about things. And that's wonderful when you're excited, you have peace, God's calling me to do something. But there are many times in life where He asks you to do something where you got to get out of your comfort zone, maybe take a new job, maybe minister in a way that you've never ministered before, reach out to somebody that might be uncomfortable to you. But deep down, you have peace and you're like, I got to do this. I have peace. God's stretching me. I got to do something I've never done before. But deep down, I have peace. I think you know what I mean, the difference. So follow the road of peace. He guides us by peace. The third way that the Holy Spirit guides us is He guides us by His Spirit. Very, very specifically, I want to read Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. The NIV translates it, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit. So when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. Maybe you haven't been empowered and baptized yet, but you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you. Now, the Bible uses the word witness or the word testifying. This verse actually goes on to say testifying that you're God's child, because you might feel doubt. Am I saved? No, you feel it inside of here. It's a testimony. Literally inside of you, you feel a witness. You feel the testimony. Yeah, I'm a child of God. But He speaks to you about specific things where not only does He give you peace, but you feel inside the voice of the Holy Spirit. So what's interesting is the Living Bible actually illuminates this verse just in an interesting way. Listen to the Living Bible. For His Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts. Deep in our spirits, really would be the more accurate way. So the Holy Spirit who's in your spirit speaks to you. You're learning to hear His voice. You can clarify His voice. You know His voice, which is very different than the world's voice, which is very different than a natural voice, which is even different than your own voice and your own thoughts. The more you walk with the Lord, you know His voice, and it comes from deep within you. It's inside of you. It's inside of you. So most of us would like to hear the audible voice of the Lord. I've only heard the audible voice of the Lord one time in my life, but I did. I did hear the audible voice of the Lord. That testimony is for another time. It was incredible, life-changing, impacting. But most of us here and in every day, we don't hear the audible voice of the Lord, but we feel and hear the Lord speaking to us through our spirits and into our mind and into our thoughts. That's why the Bible says in Corinthians that we have the mind of Christ. You renew your mind to the things of God. You're transformed. You renew your mind. And then the voice of the Holy Spirit speaks through you, through your spirit, into your mind, through your thoughts. So when I was called to the ministry, I didn't hear an audible voice, but it was so clear, and some of you have had this, so clear that just resounding in my heart and in my mind, very, very clearly, this voice and this thought that said, Eric, I want you to serve me full time. No doubt, just thundered in my heart and thundered in my mind. Have you ever had a situation or an incident in your life where it just thundered in your heart and thundered in your mind? It was just clear as could be that God was speaking to you. And if you haven't had that yet, I say yet, because God will do that for you. And so most of the things in our life, sometimes it can be very impacting, but most of the things in our life when we're walking day to day are just hearing the Holy Spirit as He guides us. He speaks to us through the Word. He speaks to us in peace, but we also just have His voice with clarity coming through our thoughts, and He speaks to us about decisions to make. Can you say amen to that? My prayer is that I've somehow articulated that in such a way to help us. So let me just review seven ways that the Holy Spirit helps us. Number one, the Holy Spirit provides comfort and counsel and encouragement. If you need comfort today, the promise is He will comfort you. And I use this as a case in point, but let's say you lost a loved one and you think, how in the world could I make it? You might feel in your natural, you could never make it, but the Holy Spirit will comfort you. And He counsels you. You might be in a situation that feels insurmountable, impossible, a financial crisis. He will counsel you through that, and He will encourage you. Secondly, the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces you. Convinces you you're a sinner, you need a Savior, but He convinces you of righteousness. And He convinces you the devil has been defeated. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit teaches us. He will teach you to grow in the Lord, teach you very practical things. Fourthly, He empowers you. And some of you might long for that power. We would love to introduce you to that and walk you through that. Fifthly, the Holy Spirit helps us pray. When we don't know how to pray, He prays through us and prays for us. Number five, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. You might need a gift today, a gift of wisdom, a miracle, knowledge. He'll give that to you. And finally, the Holy Spirit guides us. Amen? So let me conclude by saying this, and just to let you in on my personal journey this last year. What I've been really trying to do is embrace my weaknesses. Now, for many years, I don't like my weaknesses. Have you been in that situation where you see the glaring weaknesses in your life, the insufficiencies? I don't like that. And so what you do is you get angry. At least I did. Got angry, played the blame game, got mad at the Lord. Why don't I have the chance that somebody else had the chance? Or if I just had this and like so-and-so, and we fall into this thing of comparing. And then I realized, you know what? Even if I can put all that aside and just recognize that I've got some weaknesses. I'm so, so human. And so I've been trying to embrace my weaknesses and just ask the Holy Spirit to be my helper. And can I tell you, that's very, very freeing, because I've seen the Holy Spirit come and help me. Like I told you, I'm not an accountant. I'm not a business person. I don't have an MBA. I haven't been trained in certain things, but I've asked Him to come and help me. And so the Lord is just so good. He's just so, so gracious. And so this has been my scripture, and I want to read it to you. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, out of the New Living Translation. He said, God is speaking, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." This verse is amazing. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses. Can you take pleasure in your weaknesses? Not easy to do. But Paul said, I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and trouble that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is embracing your weakness. To say, you know what, I take pleasure. I take pleasure in my weakness. Where I feel insufficient, where I feel like I'm not very good at something, where you're struggling, just embrace it. And then ask the Holy Spirit, your helper, to come and help you. And He says His grace is sufficient. Eric, you're going to make it. I've given you grace, and I've given you the Holy Spirit to help you in these areas. And then He says, for when you're weak, He'll be strong. When I'm weak, He's strong. And you know what I found out? This is what's so wonderful and so great, is that when I'm weak, He's strong, and then He gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. Because the problem is, when we do it in our own strength, we like to take a little bit of glory. We think, well, I did that. I'm a self-made man, or I studied hard, or I worked hard, or I did. Guess what? You did it all by God's grace. His grace is sufficient. But then this is empowering. This is freeing to say, you know what, I can't do this. I'm weak. I embrace my weakness, but I've got the Holy Spirit. And when I'm weak, He is strong. Amen, church? Let's stand to our feet today. Let's stand to our feet.